I'm Kalina Bowler, and for years, I've worked in Georgia's growing film and television industry. I help identify the perfect spots to shoot productions. On this podcast, we meet the people whose names you see when the credits roll. Take a seat, sit back, and relax. This is The Credits, a podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting. As a cinematographer, Richard Viollet plays a central role in the way a movie looks, literally. I first met Richard years ago when we were both students at Howard University. Both our careers have evolved in the film industry. After Howard, he studied at AFI, the American Film Institute. His career has taken off with credits like the BET shows American Soul and The Quad. He's also worked on several of Tyler Perry's Madea films. He lived in Los Angeles, but has since relocated to Atlanta because of all the work in the Georgia film business. We talked about his latest project, a new Starz television series called P-Valley. It's about dancers who work at a strip club in the Mississippi Delta. I asked Richard about that title. P-Valley, is that a short for anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll say it, too. It's short for Pussy Valley.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually, I was a little bummed when I heard that, you know, they couldn't use that title.
Uh-huh.
It was, it's based on a play by the great playwright Katori Hall, who's also the showrunner for the show.
Oh, okay.
And the play was called Pussy Valley. And when I read it, one of the first things I thought to myself was, man, like, they really need to keep that title because of how bold and unapologetic it is.
The title stayed P-Valley. Richard says production has been fascinating. They built an actual strip club at Tyler Perry Studios where the series is produced. Local exotic dancers are working on set. As cinematographer, he has to make sure every shot is just right. He says that requires understanding not just the set, but the surroundings and the full story.
You know, working on this project, P-Valley, which is about a strip club, a little strip club that could in you know, deep Mississippi. It's a lot of references. It's looking at doing a lot of research on visuals that I found from Mississippi, visuals from other movies, and visuals from strip clubs as well, too, and trying to come up with a visual representation because the strip club itself is such a big character. It's a character in and of itself.
Mm.
It's called The Pink.
Okay.
And, you know, trying to find lighting-wise and compositionally how to convey this sense of a fantasy world away from the real gritty reality. And so, yeah, you know, it's coming up with interesting ways of using like neon and fluorescent and certain colors. Like, you know, we've come up with a palette of pink and blue,
mm-hmm.
and working with that with hints of gold and green as well.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of research. You know, if you go into our office, there's like walls and walls and walls of just like photos of everything.
And we tend to see that a lot, and when we're mm-hmm. doing shows, and whenever we walk into the cinematographer's office, yeah. art department office. It's just literally walls covered, floor to ceiling
yep.
of reference photos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we like immersing ourselves in it.
Mm-hmm.
I've started listening to more trap music.
Yes!
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, of course, I was raised here.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask me about any and all booty bass mix.
Yeah.
My whole career coming up here in Georgia was doing tons of music videos and strip clubs. So yeah. if you ever need, you ever have any other questions,
yeah.
just come to Kalina.
Yeah,
and yeah. I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because like Katori, the showrunner, she, you know, she has like a whole playlist.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because I'm like not really familiar with the music because
right.
I'm not from the South.
Right.
And so like, you know, I'm just immersing myself. You know, I'm driving and I'm listening to like, you know, like hardcore.
Oh yeah,
dirty South trap music.
Oh, we're ready to rock down here.
Yeah, and it's been pretty cool. And it's like, and so even the music itself sort of gives me inspiration for, you know, the visuals and the mood. And Katori, the showrunner, she keeps using this term Delta Noir, you know, like really finding like a gritty, moody atmosphere within, you know, the sort of Delta set environment.
Richard says a cinematographer's job involves a lot more than being behind the camera. A lot.
Things can be very different based on the set that I'm on. So a lot of times, like, I may be operating the camera myself.
Okay.
So I'm a lot more involved physically on set. But recently, especially on TV, where, you know, they want to shoot more than one camera a lot, I prefer to just watch on the monitor because I want to make sure that I pay attention to multiple cameras rather than just operating. So sometimes I'm with the director at the monitors. Sometimes, though, some directors like to be on set with small little handheld monitors so they can be close to the actor. So a lot of times I may not be with them because of that. And so I may be sitting at my own monitor, you know, taking a look at everything, you know, sometimes making little lighting changes and stuff like that based on what I see. Yeah, and we do that, you know, we go on and on and on and on and on for about 12 hours, hopefully 12 hours.
Hopefully 12.
You know, yeah, and then it goes on and on and on like that for, you know, like 4 or 5 months.
You know, as we were mentioning earlier, you and I studied together at Howard University for undergrad. Did you always know that you wanted to go the route of cinematography?
No.
Where did the love of it come from? Because you're, you know, you're in it.
Right, right.
You're deep in it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no coming back now. yeah, I started out, like in high school, I wanted to be an actor. You know, because that's what I, you know, growing up in the Virgin Islands, that's what I was mostly familiar with, was the people in front of the screen. And I went in, you know, to Howard. I wanted to major in film with a minor in theater, you know, because I thought that would be a good combination. And then, you know, when I started, like, you know, learning more and I started, like, directing my own stuff, I just fell in love with that part of it. So then I wanted to go into more directing. But when I started directing, I started shooting stuff for myself, you know, being my own cinematographer. And I really just, like, fell in love with it. And I remember the moment when it happened.
When was that?
I went to the movies to see the movie Road to Perdition. It's the Sam Mendes movie with Tom Hanks. And I remember coming out of that movie, and it's one of the most impeccably shot movies I've ever seen in my entire life. If you haven't seen it, you have to see it as soon as possible. And it was stunning. It, like, blew me away. Like, I was tearing up, not because it was sad or anything with the content, but just because of the effect that the visuals had on me. And how beautiful it was, not in a superficial way, but just in an emotional way.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember, like, taking the subway back to my dorm and sitting there and saying, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to direct anymore. I don't want to act ever. I'm going to be a cinematographer.
Amazing. Yeah. That aha moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that moment.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how just a little, you never know when they're going to come, those aha moments. That's amazing.
Yeah.
To the person out there listening who's like, you know what? Yes, they're having an aha moment right now.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. How do you suggest they even get started? Do they need to go and study at AFI like you did? Or do they just do it?
Just do it. I mean, it could be a combination of both, too.
Okay.
You know, I guess it depends on the direction that you want to go in and what you feel are the priorities for you. And I think that would probably be the first step, is figure out what specifically you want to focus on and what you want the end game to be. Because for me, when I went to AFI, what I wanted to do was, at Howard, and, you know, even though I love Howard and I love what it did for me, there wasn't an, once I decided that I wanted to work in cinematography, there wasn't a specific focus on cinematography.
Right, there was no track.
Right, there was no track for cinematography at Howard. And I felt like I needed something that was a lot more immersive, specifically in that discipline. And that's what led me to AFI, because, you know, they have one of the best reputations for that. And I also knew that I wanted to be in LA at the time. And I didn't want to just go there and just say, hey, let me see what happens. So I wanted to have a reason to be there. And so I wanted AFI to be that reason.
Gotcha.
So that's the reason why I did it. And that's what that was one of my priorities. And that's why I went to film school.
Gotcha.
But that might not be the priority of others. Mm-hmm. Because it is expensive. So that's something to think about.
It is.
Yeah. And now these days, especially, there is no excuse for not being able to shoot a movie. If I was starting out now, my iPhone would be the thing.
I am right there with you. Can you even imagine us in like the early 2000s if we had any of today's social media access, all that kind of stuff, like that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. It'd
be over.
It would be a game changer. Like the fact that you have something in your pocket that could shoot a pretty high quality movie
for a couple $100s.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And like, you know, a $7 app.
Yeah.
And Instagram and all this stuff.
Richard, I can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Us in film school. We'd be a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd be like, what you mean we got to even graduate? Forget it.
Right.
We're just going to go. Yeah. We're just going to go and make viral videos all day.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, that would be my advice, or, you know, like the fact that if you want to make a movie, just go out there and start doing it. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't need a crew of 80 people and the fanciest locations and stuff like that. But yeah, just go out there and do it. Because, I mean, you have a camera in your pocket right now.
Right.
So, yeah.
But there is, like you said earlier, there is still a need sometimes to have the structure of an institution to help you focus your vision a bit, I think.
Exactly.
So it depends, like you said, I guess it just depends on what you want to do.
Right. And you know, some people may feel as if they really want to, like, books aren't enough, and they want to really have a formal education in that. And so, go to film school. You know, there's tons of them out there. They're great. Mm-hmm. And so I'm never the person that would say, oh, don't go to film school. Don't do that. Because I think it really helped me, and it really helped other people.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I would say never write that off, but it's not the right thing for certain people.
Let me ask you this. You're a black man.
I am.
And you are, admittedly in a department that usually, historically, is mostly full of white males.
Yeah.
How's that been going for you so far?
It's been going okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's actually good.
Yeah, it's been going okay.
You got a nice smile on your face and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, as we all know, the world has been changing a lot recently, or specifically the industry has, and it's very exciting. The show that I'm on now, P-Valley, I look around, like, the production office, and it's like, I would say 85% women.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say maybe 70% of those women are women of color.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's really great to see that. Like even being, you know, like being a male, I'm still in the minority, you know, like even if I was a white male, I'd still be in the minority there, which is pretty great. But, you know, specifically about me being a black male, it's cool. And the interesting thing about it, too, is that there are more and more people of color coming up and becoming cinematographers. And so it's really exciting to be a part of that community, you know, and I'm really, like, proud of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little later last year, I met up with Bradford Young, who's a stunning cinematographer in his own right. And we were having the same conversation where, you know, it's really awesome to see this community of people of color in the cinematography world and really doing something impactful and putting our names out there. So people know, okay, like, this group of people right here, mm-hmm. we got to pay attention, you know? it's really great. Like when I was shooting American Soul last year, a friend of mine, Dante Lee, he was shooting Boomerang at the same time. And it was interesting, like, and you know, and he's another,
black
man.
That's also filmed here. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's another black man, and he's, you know, filming. He's a cinematographer on a BET show mm-hmm. in Atlanta, and he was doing awesome work, and I was doing the same thing at the same time. And we were, you know, trading stories and,
yeah.
you know, trading crew and stuff like that. It was really cool, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really cool to see us, you know, basically running the show.
That's Atlanta-based cinematographer Richard Viale. His current project is the upcoming Star series, P-Valley. And I, for one, am looking forward to seeing more of his excellent work. And that's it for us today. Our show is produced by Sean Powers, and Don Smith is our editor. Thank you very much, Don. The theme music is by MBB. I'm Kalina Bowler. You can reach us and subscribe to our podcast for free at gpb.org/podcasts. If you have a moment, review and rate us on iTunes. We also want to hear from you. If you work in the film industry, tell us what you do. You can reach us at thecredits@gpb.org. Until next time, see you after the movies.